and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Harvester Square, 60 Harvester Square in St. Charles, Missouri, 63303, if you want to come on by. They have some great things, too. They have the Mojo Salsa back for the Cardinal season. A new spicy version has been launched. Have a sample. They also have the Schnucks Deli, the Blues Hat Trick. That's 2.5 pounds of Schnucks Deli meat, a half pound of Schnucks Deli cheese. The meat department, their butchers grind fresh meat in-store using their own signature recipes, never frozen, no MSG or preservatives. Come on by and say hello. We're excited to be here. Good program lined up for you. As the Cardinals begin the season, we'll visit with the Cardinal owner, Bill DeWitt, at 10:30. And we'll also talk some baseball with Rob Raines at 11 o'clock. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Well, it begins in 3 hours. The Cardinals will likely trot out a lineup of Carpenter, Goldschmidt, DeJong, Ozuna, Molina, Fowler, Wong, Bader, and Michaelis. Not exactly murderer's row, but the man hitting second changes everything. And I guess you can nitpick about where he hits in the lineup, and I think most of us agree that the best hitter in the lineup should hit third. Albert did, Stan did too. But let's not digress. You have in your lineup the only guy in the National League who's been to 6 straight All-Star games. From the moment Albert left, you've been looking for a successor. And even though Carlos Beltran and Matt Holliday did well, this guy in his prime with his gold gloves should give you the best semblance of Albert Pujols. Think about it, too. You gave up a backup catcher who would not be playing for you for at least 2 or maybe 3 more years in Carson Kelly. And you gave up a pitcher in Luke Weaver who, in your list of talented 25-year-old right-handers or younger, well, he's behind Flaherty, he's behind Dakota Hudson, he's behind Alex Reyes, and maybe a few others. And you have Paul Goldschmidt locked up for years. John Mozeliak, who has second-guessed quite a bit, really deserves some credit, not just for the trade, but for the contract extension. Derek Gould has been with Goldschmidt the entire spring training. He offered up these thoughts.
Already this season, Paul has run meetings. You know, I'm like, the stuff that coaches normally do, like, hey, this is our bunt defense, or this is how we're going to go first to third, blah, blah, that kind of stuff, right? Like the inside baseball stuff. Goldschmidt has been in charge of some of those meetings. He went to the coaching staff and said, here's what I think when I'm doing first to third stuff. And the coaching staff said, oh, that's really good. Schilt goes, man, that's a great idea. We should all do that. You know, that's, like I said, it's not something that is going to set Twitter on fire, but they connect in that way. And I think the larger scope of this is that, yes, Schilt and the teammates and everything like that played a role in recruiting and convincing Goldschmidt to stick around. Absolutely. However, they did it organically, and that might be why it worked.
And I'll go back to that moment, I guess it was maybe day 3 of spring training, and Jose Oquindo is hitting fungos to the outfielders and on his knees catching the ball and then slowly tossing it to Jose to hit the ball was Paul Goldschmidt. And I thought to myself, how many superstars and face of the franchises will ever do something like that? Oh, by the way, Bob Nightingale and Greg Amsinger have Goldie winning the MVP. Lap two. One of the big things today and this weekend will be a battle of the bullpens. Obviously, on paper, at least last year, the Brewers had a big edge. They rely on their pen more than any team in baseball. Their postseason bullpen was stunning. Think about this. The total innings pitched by the Brewers was 92 and two-thirds innings in the postseason. The bullpen accounted for 60 and a third. Two-thirds of their innings came from their bullpen in the postseason. That can't be done for a regular season. No, it can't. And they begin this one with two of their studs on the disabled list, Corey Knebel and Jeremy Jeffress. They still have Josh Hader, though. He of the $687,000 a year salary. You talk about buys. That is bargain basement cheap. Now, I wonder, too, just how scary the Cardinal bullpen is going to be. Scary good, I meant. I mean, if John Brebbia, who's been really good, is like your fifth option in the pen, that's pretty good. John Gant in the sixth, Alex Reyes in the seventh, Andrew Miller in the eighth, Jordan Hicks in the ninth, although you could exchange some of those innings with those guys. Dominic Leone, who once was a pretty good pitcher, when healthy, can be pretty good. And don't forget, one of these days, Carlos Martinez is going to be healthy. I mean, so what? He may only pitch 50 innings this season, but there'll probably be 50 really good innings, because when the guy pitches, especially out of the bullpen last year, he was really good. So I mean, could you imagine adding Martinez to that bullpen? Look, if Hudson is for real and Waino and Waka could stay healthy, you keep Carlos in that pen for a while, or Alex Reyes. Now, it's doubtful that you're going to get, you know, 175 innings out of Waino and Waka. And Reyes is probably going to have to be a starter. But even if you move Reyes to the starting rotation and you move Carlos Martinez to his role, that's still a really good bullpen. That's why Craig Mish from Sirius Radio, well, he's betting on the Cardinals to win it all.
Yeah, I did it right after they traded for Goldschmidt. And if you're into the betting and the wagering, you may not want to take my advice, because that those odds are better than the ones that I got. I got 12-1, and yeah, I think the ticket was posted online for 200 to win whatever that ends up being. But you know, I'm not very high on the Cubs this season, so I do think the Cardinals have a really good shot to win the division. And then at that point, once you've done that, there's only a handful of teams that are out there to win. And I think the National League is more wide open than it's been. The National League West, I think that the Rockies could easily outdo the Dodgers. And then the National League East are going to have three teams or four teams just punching themselves in the face all season. The Goldschmidt move to me was the best of the offseason. I love the Cardinals pitching. I think their bullpen is solid. They even can add some more pieces, use some starters as relievers. And who knows, maybe Carlos Martinez is kind of that ace in the hole in the second half of the season. So, yeah, I think the Cardinals end up either there or winning it. But I did that's the only bet that I made to win the World Series, is I took them.
Guys, Jim Huer and Brian Hoffman are on location with us. What are you hearing and what have you read? Are the Cardinals the favorite? I see some picking the Cubs. I don't see many picking the Brewers. And a lot of people picking the Cardinals.
I see a healthy mix of the three.
Are you seeing Brewers, too?
I think I've seen more Cubs than Cardinals. And I think probably the Brewers are third for most prognostications for it. I think it's fairly even among the three teams.
Brewers have dropped off a little bit because of the news.
Yeah, I don't see the Brewers as much as the other two.
But I'm seeing more of the Cardinals than I expected. But, hey, the national media really loves the Goldschmidt move, and that's part of it.
All right, lap three. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. So the Blues needed the Avalanche to lose in regulation in Las Vegas to officially qualify for the postseason. They did not, so the Blues will just have to clinch it Friday night in New York. We know that's inevitable. What's more interesting is if they keep this thing up in their final six. This may be one of the better feelings you've had about a club entering the postseason in a long, long time. I know they've entered the postseason before with some momentum, And they certainly had a team entering the postseason with much more star power. I mean, I just went back to the roster in 96 for a second. 96 had Gretzky, Hall, McInnes, Pronger, and Fuhr.
Wow.
Five.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. One of the greatest of all time, one of the greatest Blue of all time, one of the best Blues defenseman of all time, the other the second Blues best defenseman of all time, and the other merely a Hall of Fame goaltender. Now, this team probably doesn't have a Hall of Famer. And maybe Vladimir Tarasenko, if he kept it up for a long period of time. Who knows? But they do have a goalie who's now 21-4-1. That's better than John Tudor. 21-4-1. Tudor was 21-7, I believe. I love the Alex Pietrangelo attitude yesterday at practice, too. We're trying to catch Winnipeg. They just may do that. It's amazing. January 3rd, ranked 30th out of 31 teams. And now there's still a chance to win the Central Division. They're in New York, of course, on Friday night to face the Rangers. And Craig Berube talked the other day about the identity of the 2018-19 St. Louis Blues.
I think every team's got their own identity and, you know, how they're structured and built. And I can't look back and think of a team that I played for, a coach that was in a similar situation that this team was in, end of December, and then now they're in this position. I've not experienced that, so that's something unusual for me.
Yeah, it's unusual for everybody in the National Hockey League, I think. All right, lap four. Let's talk NCAA tourney. Let me tell you a quick little story. So I'm in Mexico, and fortunately, they did have very good satellite dishes all over the place. So by the pool area, they had this one kind of enclosed area where they had the game on. And so it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Friday, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but I definitely, when the games, I was checking my phone. And so I'm all alone in this one little area watching the game. And then, like, a group of, like, 10 St. Louisans walk by. Hey, Frank, how you doing stuff? And so we're talking. And they see me kind of alone watching a game in this beautiful resort. Okay, so we fast forward 7 hours to about 11 o'clock that night. Second half of the Billiken game. Remember, the first half was a disaster. Right. Monique went back. So it's a nightclub area. And I convinced the nightclub guy, can you put the Billiken game on here in the corner? So I'm in the corner, and then that group of St. Louisans, this time it's up to 20, come by, and they see me all alone watching the game. They must think I am the biggest loser, and they would not be incorrect, of all time. I'm at this cool resort, and I'm all alone watching games. And then so the very next day, I see about 6 or 7 of them, and they're walking around the pool, and I'm so self-conscious of this now. I said, you know, there's my wife over there. She's over there. Hey, Monique, say hi. And she's like looking at me like, what? Oh, God, am I a loser.
That's great.
All right. Tonight, great games. Gonzaga giving up 7.5 to the 4th seed Florida State. Now, everybody knows how long and freaking athletic Florida State is. In fact, if you're a Mizzou fan, you painfully know that. I remember watching them last year in Nashville. They're really good. But the best player on the floor is that Rui Hachimura, 6'8", great ball skills. I like Gonzaga to win the game. Then we have Purdue, the 3 seed, getting 1.5 against Tennessee. Purdue has this Carson Edwards coming off the 42-point game against Villanova. I don't know. Did you guys happen to see the story about Admiral Schofield, what he did the other day in the game against Iowa? So he gets into foul trouble. He comes out, and Tennessee plays better. And they're on a really nice run. And, like, Coach Barnes goes to put him back in, and he said no. He goes, we're better off without me. Now, there's a part of me thinking, boy, you know, you're just one of the best players. You need to be out there. But I thought it was kind of cool that he actually did that. They really have such an experienced, almost like spiritual look to them, Tennessee. They're all just strong, on-fire guys. I love them. I hope they advance. It's going to be a great game. Texas Tech is really good, too. And so is Michigan. That may be the best game tonight. That is going to be something else. And let me tell you about Texas Tech, too. They have, like, statistically, by one metric, one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball. They really do. And then over this last month, well, they've turned into one of the most efficient offensive teams in all of college basketball. Now, my policy is to never bet against John Beilein teams in the NCAA tournament unless you get to the Final Four. But this is going to be a great game tonight. It really is. Then on TBS, Oregon, the 12 seed, against Virginia. Now, of all the teams playing, I know Brian doesn't like them because of their style, and I understand
boring.
That. I'd like to see Virginia get there because there's no finer person in college basketball than Tony Bennett. You know, the perception we have of these college basketball coach are egomaniacs, ethically and morally challenged, and psychotic nutcakes. Tony's none of them. I love the way he handled the 16-1 shocker last year. Guy's terrific. Oregon's good, though, and we saw here quite a bit what Dana Altman does in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship games. He finds a way to win big games. This is going to be a great night of basketball. I'm excited. All right, lap five. Quick local basketball thoughts. I think that grad transfers, that phrase, could be really important for all of our local teams. SLU needs one, hopefully a big guy. You have Yuri Collins, Fred Thatch, Jordan Goodwin in the backcourt with Demetrius Jacobs. You have a bunch of guys at that three spot. Gibson Jimerson, the shooter from the prep school. Tony Hargrove from East St. Louis. Javante Perkins, the JUCO from SWIC, the high scorer. Hassan French is your four. Casey Hankton can play three or four. Jimmy Bell's a five with skill but needs some work. Get a five. Get some man. Get some 23- or 24-year-old man who comes in and plays right away at your four or five spot. Mizzou needs a good one, too. They need a grad transfer. 23-, 24-year-old, kind of a professional scorer. I mean, just think what grad transfers have done for those two programs. Cassius Robertson, they're not in the NCAA tournament last year, Mizzou. Tremaine Isabel, they're not in the NCAA tournament without him this year. Mizzou's got shooters. They got the Smiths, Drew and Mark. They have Torrance Watson. Pinson, good-looking point. You have some fine recruits. How do you not like Mario McKinney? You need Jeremiah to get better and to stay out of foul trouble. But you need maybe like a 23, 24-year-old, you know, grad transfer to come in and be an impact right away. Illinois has that really good class coming in. They have a lot of young, talented freshmen. They could use a grad transfer. Key phrase for all three of them, grad transfer. All right, lap six. Quick thought on the trip to Mexico. When the kids were young, Brooke asked me once when we'd go to Branson, because they went to that Kanakuk camp and we'd stop by, stay in Branson. Afterwards, she'd always say, "Dad, why do we always have to go to buffets?" And I admit, for a long time, the four most important words of my life were "all you can eat." They've been replaced by two words, "all inclusive." Let me give you Thursday, for example. We begin at 8 a.m. with a breakfast buffet. The table of food was like from one end of this schnooks to the other. Every day. You know, homemade omelets, pancakes, waffles, fresh fruit, just everything. Then at noon, Monique goes with the salmon sandwich. I go and have the grilled octopus. At 2 o'clock, while she's doing yoga, I have a cheese quesadilla with the best ever guacamole. We're all guac fans here, I'm sure.
Yes.
Then at 4, after a 6-mile walk, we go for a little ice cream. I had the orange mango. Sensational. At 6:30 back in the room while she's showering, I order room service spaghetti carbonara with a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon. Then dinner at the French restaurant at 8:30, lobster bisque and lamb chops. Monique had the salmon again. It was like this almost every day for 5 days. I'm telling you, all-inclusive is the way to go. Mexico, I think, blows away Florida. It's almost easier to get there. This is a direct flight, like 3 hours, boom, boom, boom. So I'm not even exactly sure where I was at. Playa Mujeres, 45 minutes outside of Cancun.
It didn't matter then.
It didn't, yeah. All I needed was food and a TV once in a while. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. Favorite place to go if you got 5 days. You know, the thing is, you can leave at 6 o'clock in the morning and be at the beach by 10 o'clock that day. That's how quick Cancun is.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Are you betting on the Cardinals to win the division? Would you say yes if I told you, okay, I'll take this, the Blues win just one round in the playoffs, or the expectation's a little higher? If I give you that right now, both of you, the Blues are going to go to the playoffs, they're going to win one round, but they'll lose in the second round. Would you take it?
Ooh, I think I might.
I would not, because I think the team's better right now. Yeah. I really think they're on a roll that we haven't seen in a long time at this time of the year. We've seen them
but
in the
But you would not take it, Brian. Well, you would take it.
I would. We've seen rolls stop suddenly.
That's true.
Season
yeah,
time.
For sure.
So I think I would take that.
We're overdue for one, though, right?
It's true.
All right. And then some NCAA tournament thoughts, some Billiken thoughts, some Mizzou thoughts. Come on aboard. Who do you like? Okay. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu for more information. And we do want to tell you about our friends at the Bomarito family. Bomarito has been serving St. Louis since 71. They sell Audis, Infinities, Cadillacs, Buicks, GMC, Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Toyotas, Nissans, Mazdas, Volkswagens. Their dealerships are in every neighborhood, plus the website. Over 12,000 vehicles online at bomarito.com. That's where you can find some great deals. We'll take a short time out. We'll be joined by the Cardinal owner, Bill DeWitt, when we come back.